We're looking at what is called Jehovah's Witnesses. They call themselves Jehovah's Witnesses because they say the true name of God is Jehovah. They call him Jehovah God. They go back to the Old Testament. In fact, naturally, if you assume that most of what they're believing goes back to the Old Testament of a Jehovah God, then you'll understand that most of the time they put themselves under the Mosaic Law. It's already a law system. It's really a legalistic system. The problem with the name Jehovah, they say we're Jehovah's Witnesses. There really isn't a name called Jehovah. They'll say that's the true name of God, but if you go back to the Old Testament, you see a name YHWH, you see a name named Adonai, you see a name named El, you see a name named Elohim. Those are names for God in the Old Testament. The personal name of God is YHWH. And another name of God, which is the word Lord, is Adonai. What the Jewish people would do, because the name YHWH, we call it Yahweh, but we're not sure exactly how to pronounce it because they didn't pronounce it. That name was so sacred to them because it was the personal name of God, they wouldn't say it. So what they would do is they would take the consonants from YHWH and the vowels from Adonai, they put them together and it formed a word called Jehovah. So the word Jehovah is not actually in the Bible at all. So when a Jehovah's Witnesses tells you we come up with the real name of God, you can tell them that that's not even a name that's found in the Bible. It's not the real name of God. It's basically taking two names of God from the Old Testament and putting it together. So that's why they're called Jehovah's Witnesses. They were founded by a guy by the name of Charles Russell in the 1870s. He started with a group that were called Zion's Watchtower. After his death, Charles Rutherford took over in 1916, changed the name to Jehovah's Witnesses. They finally had their translation of the Bible in 1950 called the New World Translation. That's basically sort of where we've been. I'm just giving you a quick review. They have some unusual beliefs. No blood transfusions because they think that's the same as eating blood. And the Old Testament said don't eat blood, don't drink blood, so they don't take a blood transfusion. They really don't like the law. They don't like governmental laws. They refuse to fight. No war. They don't salute the flag because they consider that idolatry. And I just want to read this to you. I read it last week, but this is a statement. It says it's strange that they claim that they accept the Bible as their authority. However, their theology denies every main doctrine of Christianity, including the Trinity. They deny the Trinity. They deny the deity of Jesus Christ. They deny bodily resurrection. They deny salvation by grace through faith. And they deny eternal separation from God. Now, they deny all of those, and yet they would say that they hold to the Scripture. Of course, it's a New World's translation. It's their particular Bible. It's their particular translation of the Scripture. So it's a little bit different because I'm going to show you in just a minute. But the bottom line is, would you consider a group the same as you if they said, we don't believe in the Trinity, we won't believe that Jesus is God, we don't believe in bodily resurrection, we don't believe that salvation is by grace through faith, and we don't believe that there'll ever be an eternal separation from God for those who do not believe? We would all say, that's nothing that we believe. I mean, that's just the opposite of what we believe. In the 1991 issue of the Watchtower, here I read this last week, but here's what they're saying. They're saying that many people have promoted unscriptural teaching, such as the Trinity. And then they go on to say, and people's biggest failure is that they made the salvation of mankind the paramount issue rather than the name of God and His kingdom. So what they teach is that the most important thing is the name of God and the kingdom, not the salvation of human beings. So we talked about that last time. We then got in and we talked a little about, we said that when you look at these kind of groups, we always look at the Bible. What do they say about the Bible? What do they say about Jesus Christ? And what do they say about salvation? We looked about the Bible, and they have their own translation of the Bible called the New World Translation. And the New World Translation has some changes. The first one is the Colossians. That's the big three here. The three areas of the Bible. The first one is, next slide should deal with Colossians 1. Is that correct? Yeah, there it is. Colossians 1:16. Notice what our Bible reads. It says, "For all things were created by Him were created, both in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through Him and for Him." In the New World Translation, it says, "All other things were created by Him and through Him and for Him." All other things, because they consider Jesus a created being as well. That He's been created. So they have to take Colossians 1:16, instead of saying all things were created by Him, they put all other things were created by Him. Meaning He created all other things other than Himself, and then He was created by God. So when they look at Jesus, and we would say that Jesus is the eternal God, He's always existed, the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit, the Trinity, all of that, they would say, no, there's no Trinity like that, and Jesus hasn't always existed. He's created by the Father. We'll give you a little bit more information when we get to what they say about Christ a little bit later. Here's another one, and this is one of the biggest ones. If you would, just turn over to the Gospel of John. John chapter 1. One of the most famous verses in the Bible. Notice how ours reads. Let me give everybody time to get there because you want to see this. This is one of the main things that they do. John 1 verse 1 says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Now we know that if you didn't understand who the Word is, you could at least figure it out by verse 14, because verse 14 says the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. So who's the Word? Jesus Christ. Okay. It says, "In the beginning was the Word." Now, in the Bible, there are beginnings, right? There's the beginning of creation, Genesis chapter 1. There's the beginning of Jesus Christ becoming a human being, which is in First John chapter 1. And then there's the eternal beginning, which we call it the eternal beginning. The Bible says in the beginning, but it's all eternity. That's in John 1. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was what? God." So that tells us that Jesus is who? Is God. Now, if you believe that Jesus is not God and you look at John 1:1, you got problems, don't you? So what did they do? In the New World Translation, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was a God," because they think that Jesus is a created God, that he's not the eternal Jehovah God. He is the created God. One of the problems is the person who put together the New World Translation doesn't know Greek. And the way it's written in the Greek, it is, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." So our Bible is exactly right. They've translated it wrong, and they had to translate it that way because it's the only way that could fit their theology. Because if you said, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God," that would make Jesus equal with the Father from all time. And they don't believe that, so they can't say that. They have to say he was a God and not the true God. So I just want you to understand that sometimes when you get into the Bible, they do things like that. Yeah.
They believe in an afterlife, right?
We're going to get to it, but yes, they believe in an afterlife. Okay. For people who believe and do good works, if you believe and do good works, you can be in an afterlife. There's 144,000 of those who do good works and do what's right, and they get to be with God. The rest of them who believe and do some good works but not enough good works, they get to be somewhere else. And then anyone who does not believe, they are annihilated. There is no separation. There is no hell. There is no eternal separation from God.
Non-existent.
They're just destroyed.
That's, 'cause I was wondering if they don't believe that salvation is important, why are they out witnessing?
Well, they're witnesses of Jehovah because it's when I say that salvation is not important, they wouldn't say salvation is not important. They would say the important thing is the name Jehovah and the kingdom, not salvation of man. Because the real issue about Jesus dying on the cross, we'll get to it a little bit later, even on the handout I'm going to get you for next week. Even Jesus' death on the cross doesn't really provide salvation for people. Not in this way. Yes. It says a lot, doesn't it? It says, and so you shouldn't take away or add to it. And yeah, that's right. That's exactly right. And that's why when people do translations of the Bible, and there are a lot of translations of the Bible, and most the good translations, the ones that you want to use, always go back to the original language. And they have people who are scholars and who are Bible-believing people who try to take it exactly from the language of Hebrew or Greek and put it into English so that it fits. Some people put it together and they want it to flow easier. That's like the NIV. They wrote it in such a way that it flows easier. The New American Standard doesn't flow as easy because those translators tried to actually put it in the same word order as the Greek and in the Hebrew. So that's why sometimes people read the New American Standard and they read the NIV and they'll say, well, the NIV reads smoother, right? Because they didn't seek to keep the same word order as the New American Standard did. King James, the New King James, very good as well, based off the manuscripts that they had. So you're right, you're not supposed to add to or take away. And so when people do translations, they better be very careful on what they're doing. So it's a good point. So we'll get more into their theology as far as end times. But they went to the book of Revelation. In chapter 7, where it said 144,000, 12,000 from each of the 12 tribes, They believed, for a long time, they believed only 144,000 people would ever be saved. That salvation was only 144,000. They didn't understand that it said 12,000 for each of the 12 tribes, 12 tribes of Israel. This is during the tribulation, and this is the evangelism of the Jewish, you know, Jewish people doing evangelism. They also didn't look at verses where John sees thousands upon thousands upon thousands of people around the throne, and he asks the angel, who is this? And he said, these are all the people who have believed in the Messiah and have trusted in him. Thousands upon thousands upon thousands. So they didn't read those verses. They didn't look at them very carefully. And when they saw 144,000, their teachers came up with the idea that only 144,000 people would ever be saved. And then there became more than 144,000 Jehovah's Witnesses. And so they had to change their theology, and now they say 144,000 will be in the top place. They'll be in the place with God. The others who come after, who are maybe not quite as good, not have done the works, because it's all keeping the commandments of Jehovah God. If those who haven't done as good, but have believed in Jehovah God the way they say you should, they'll be on the earth in a paradise, but not in heaven with God. So that's their sort of their end times event. I'm trying to think of the word, how they put it. I may not can remember it right this second because it wasn't for today, but there's a part where they're going to bring everybody up and they all have a second chance again, and then they're annihilated if they don't believe. So it's kind of unusual. Do what? Right, and so that's got to be the only Jehovah's Witnesses, of course. And originally 144,000, but then more. Yeah, I thought you had a question. Okay. Just scratching. Okay. Scratching's better than nothing. Okay. In their intro to the New World Translation, they said this: other translations have fallen victim to the power of human traditionalism, and their translations have been interwoven that color their thought. The endeavor of the New World Translation Committee has been to avoid this snare. That's at the front of their Bible. Now, they didn't avoid that because they changed the Bible. And it makes you sort of sad. They also have extra biblical revelation. I want you to understand that the Watchtower, these writings right here, they're on par. Now, some people say, it's just a little circular. It's just a little magazine. No. No, this is from their main people. This is their teachings of their church. These are binding and authoritative. And so if the Watchtower says a certain thing, and I mean, there are things in this thing that I've underlined for us that I'll read sometimes, and I read some last time. I told you last time, it said this: instead of searching the scriptures for answers, people use human logic, and they have teachings such as the Trinity. Now, this is from their writing, saying that this is what they teach people. And they say, read these things. We'll bring you by the newest issue. And this has our teaching of our church, and this has the teachings of Jehovah's Witnesses, so that we can be witnesses of Jehovah. The Watchtower is been said to be God's sole collective channel for the flow of biblical truth to men on earth. So not only is it the New World Translation, but it's the Watchtower as well. And that goes way back to the very beginning, when Russell and those guys were all writing, and they were writing these articles and those things, and they consider them. So they've got a different translation, got different interpretations. They've got improper interpretations of the Scripture. So what do they say about the Bible? What are some of their teachings? Let me give you some things that we've more than just mentioned, but I want you to know. First of all, the Trinity. They say the Trinity is unbiblical. There is no Trinity. Here's how they state it. They'll always start by saying, let God be true. That's their statement. Let God be true, and then they give you what they believe. They say, let God be true. The Trinity was not conceived by Jesus or the early Christians. The Trinity is Satan's attempt to keep God-fearing people from learning the truth. So they would say that there is not one God in three persons. Now, we all know that when we start talking about the Trinity, and knowing that there's one God in three persons, there's the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit, and God the Father is God, and God the Son is God, and God the Spirit is God, and God the Father and the Son are two different things, and the Son and the Spirit are two different things, and the Spirit and the Father are two different things, and yet there's one God in three persons. There's not three gods. And for us to grasp this, we go, I can't really grasp it, but I do believe it because the Bible shows us this. And so one of the truths that we have to say is there a Trinity? Because they would say, Jesus is not God, and the Holy Spirit is not God, and the Holy Spirit is sort of a force, but we'll talk about it in a second. So the first thing is that there's no Trinity. Does the Bible teach there's a Trinity? Genesis 1:1. In Genesis 1:1 says, in the beginning, God. It's plural, by the way. There's a Greek word, the Hebrew word for God is El. There's the plural word is Elohim. In Genesis 1:1 says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. It's what they call the plural of majesty, because there's the idea there that even though it's God, there's the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. If you go to Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, does anybody remember what it says? And God said, let us make man in our image. Who is the us? And God said, let us make man in our image. It's not the angels. Angels aren't creators. Who is the us in Genesis 1, 26 and 27? It's the Trinity. It's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Okay? I want you to turn over to Matthew chapter 3. Matthew chapter 3 is Jesus being baptized. Most of you know this, so this is not anything new. But I want you to see something. Matthew chapter 3. Just start at verse 13 just to get the flow of the passage. That's always the best idea. Jesus arrived from Galilee at the Jordan, coming to John to be baptized by him. This is the very beginning of Jesus' ministry. He's going to be baptized, identifying with mankind. John tried to prevent him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and you come to me. But Jesus said, no, I'll do this. Prepare it for this time, for it is the way for fitting to fulfill the righteousness, because he's going to identify with fallen man. And then he permitted him. And after being baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water. Now, Jesus is we'd say, God the Son. And after being baptized, immediately coming up from water, behold, the heavens were open, and he saw the who? The Spirit of God descending on him as a dove and lighting on him. There's the Holy Spirit. So there's the Son and the Spirit. And behold, a voice out of the heavens said, this is my beloved Son. Who could that possibly be? That's the Father. You see, the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit all together at one time. When people say there's no such thing as the Trinity, you see all three of them there. There's Jesus, there's the Holy Spirit, and there's the Father. In Deuteronomy, I just want you to write this down. In Deuteronomy 6:4, it says, hear, O hear, Israel, the Lord your God is, you may know, one. That's exactly what it says. Now, I want you to understand, the Deuteronomy 6:4 is called the Shema, which is the Hebrew word for to hear. And that's why it's called Shema, Shema, O Israel. Hear, O hear, Israel, the Lord your God is one. Jewish men would get up every morning, and before they did anything, they would repeat the Shema. Shema, Shema, Israel, the Lord your God is one God, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul, all your mind, and you shall teach these statutes to your children when they lie down. They would quote that. Okay? Hear, O hear, Israel, the Lord your God is one God. The word for one in Hebrew there is a word ahad, which means cluster. It'd be like we say, here, I got a thing of grapes. I got one thing of what? Grapes. The idea that when they saw the word ehad, it didn't mean a single thing. It meant a collection. Here, oh, here is the Lord your God is what? One what? One collection. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. In Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Who's God there? It's the Father. The second verse says, and the Spirit of the Lord hovered over the face of the deep. That is the Holy Spirit. Colossians 1:16 and 17 says, and all things were created by him and through him and for him. That's talking about Jesus. Jesus is the creator. The Holy Spirit is the creator. The Father is the creator. All are the creator because God is the creator. There's one God in three persons. Just because we can't comprehend it doesn't mean it's not true. And so they reject the Trinity by saying that there is Jehovah God who's God, there's Jesus who's a God who was created, and there's the Holy Spirit who's some kind of force. Because let's get to the second one after Trinity is number two, is that the Holy Spirit is not God. He's not part of the Godhead. He's described as an invisible, active force of God. So the Holy Spirit's not a person in Jehovah's Witnesses. The Holy Spirit is just Jehovah God with some kind of action of Jehovah God, sort of like his power, sort of like the force is with you. That's sort of what it's like. But we know that the Holy Spirit is God. The Holy Spirit is a person. He is described as a person. You can grieve the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit seals us, baptizes us, gives us spiritual gifts. The Holy Spirit empowers us. The Holy Spirit helps to illuminate the Scripture. In Acts chapter 5, the Holy Spirit is described as God. It's when Ananias and Sapphira lied. Peter said, you have lied to the Holy Spirit. You have lied to God. He says it directly there. So if you want to show a Jehovah's Witness sometime that the Holy Spirit is God, just go to that passage there in Acts chapter 5. You've lied to the Holy Spirit. You have lied to God. The Holy Spirit is not a force. It is not Star Wars. He is the one member of the Trinity of the Godhead. It's powerful.
they totally left him out?
I don't know. I don't really read the New World Translation, so I don't know all the stuff that they put. But I imagine you could, you know, what I would do is they would look at you and say, well, we need to go by the New World Translation. We say, well, let me keep my Bible, and let's just, when we look at the New World Translation, we look at the Bible, let's just see where they're different. And so sometimes go to these verses, see what they say, because sometimes they're going to say exactly the right thing, but they would interpret it differently. They'd say, well, it doesn't mean the Holy Spirit is God there. It says you've lied to the Holy Spirit, and you've also lied to God. That's how we say, no, I mean, if you go back to the language, it doesn't fit that way. And so the bottom line is this: when you reject the truth, you will believe anything, and you can make the Bible say anything you want it to say. All you have to do is just pull it out of context. So, and that's what happens so often. The third thing is that Jesus Christ is not the God. He is a God. And I mentioned that already. He is a created being. Here's what they say: let God be true. Jesus was a God, not the Almighty God, who is Jehovah. They go on to say, the truth of the matter is that the Word is Christ, who did have a beginning. See, because they see that Jesus was born in Bethlehem, they believe that Jesus had a beginning. He's a created God. They say he's God, but not the God, not Jehovah God, but a God. And he was born in Bethlehem, so he had to have a start. And they miss the truth of Micah chapter 5, verse 2. That says his goings forth are from all eternity. The one born in Bethlehem, his goings forth are from all eternity. What do you think that means? You know, they just, you know, if you, let me say, here's what happens, y'all. There's a person, and he gets this idea that he's from God, and that God's given him revelation. And so he starts writing down things and thinking things, sort of the Eddie Rector syndrome. And he starts putting all these things down, and he comes up with things. And sometimes what he comes up with doesn't match the Bible, so they have to change the Bible. They have to make it work. And see, when you believe, as Russell and Rutherford said, there is no hell, because they said God would never send anybody to an eternal punishment. He wouldn't do it. That's not God. So what do? You say there is no hell. So then how do you answer the fact that people are cast in the lake of fire? Well, it doesn't mean that. What happens to people is they're annihilated. They're just destroyed. And so what happens is anytime a person begins to come up with their own stuff, they have to change the Bible. They have to change stuff to make it match. So that's the number four, is there's no eternal punishment. There is none. As for the dead, they are conscious of nothing. Let me see. I don't know. Let's see, might be in this one. I've got some things. Oh, here we go. Listen to this. Many more believe that there is a fiery hell. However, you would not burn an enemy in a fire for eternity. If you would refuse to do such a cruel thing, would our loving Creator do such a thing by making individuals suffer in hellfire? But remember that the dead are conscious of nothing at all. First bell. Right? First bell? Okay. Conscious of nothing at all. So what they say is this: you are not a Jehovah's Witnesses. You do not believe. You die. You go into the grave. You're not conscious of anything. One day they're going to raise you up. When they raise you up, and let me see if I've got it written right here. There's some things that Jehovah's Witnesses deny the existence of hell. They hold the fact that souls of the wicked will be annihilated. The death that Adam brought into the world is a spiritual death as well as a physical death, and only those who gain the entrance into the kingdom of God can exist eternally. This division will occur at Armageddon. Now, they say at Armageddon, the dead will be raised who are conscious of nothing at all. They will be raised and given a chance to gain eternal life. And then, of course, it goes on to say that after that, they're annihilated, because it says, you know, God would never have anybody suffer. They're just annihilation. They do have a small number that would be. Let me read this to you. A belief that in 1914 Jesus came back, but not in a bodily form. He's already come back to the earth as the King. 1914. They said that Jesus threw Satan and his demons out of heaven, and they came to the earth. And that's why, beginning in 1914, things got a little bit worse, even though Jesus came as the king to the earth. Jehovah's Witnesses look forward to a theocracy in which all human governments will be abolished and God will rule the entire earth. Well, they're right about that. God will rule the earth, but there'll be a government. It'll be his government. There's some other things there, but they just reject the fact of an eternal hellfire. Now, second, I just want to read this to you. I know that was the bell. We'll finish. We can actually go. I'm just going to just touch on a little bit about Christ, but we can start the next study next time with that. Let me read this to you real quickly, just so you can grasp it. Does God talk about a hellfire? Second Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 7. He talks about God's going to give release to those when Jesus Christ will reveal from heaven with the mighty angels in a flaming fire, dealing out retribution to those who do not know God, those who do not believe the gospel. There will be a penalty of eternal destruction away from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of God. Matthew chapter 25, verse 46. Matthew 25:46. These will be cast into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. There is an eternal punishment. Now, next time we'll look into Christ. I'm going to give you the two applications. Don't we have applications at the end, right? I want to give you the two applications. One, we'll get into this next week because they believe Jesus Christ is not God. Number one, be ready to give an answer. This is the basic thing. Know the basic errors of the Jehovah's Witnesses. Just like you know the basic errors of the Mormons. We went over that. Know the basic things. That's why you always go back to what do they say about the Bible? What do they say about Christ? What do they say about salvation? You already know that about the Bible, they change things. They've got places like Colossians 1:16 and John 1:1 and those kind of things. They change how they look at the Bible. They change the end time events. They change those things. So know what they believe. Know how to share with them. And number two is just keep on growing as believers, because what you've got to do is you've got to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. You've got to know the Scripture. You've got to know how it fits together so that you can stand. You can stand strong. You have to know the truth, because if you don't know the truth, you won't know error. You have to know the truth. Even if we never studied the cults at all, if you know what you believe from the Scripture and why, when something comes that is contrary to the Scripture, you will recognize it immediately. If somebody came to you and said, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem, that's when he began to exist. Immediately you would say, no, because Jesus Christ is the eternal God. He's always existed at a point in time in history. He became a human being, but he's always God, always will be God. You immediately recognize they've got a problem right there. So just by knowing what we know, you'll be ready. So be ready to give an answer and keep on growing as believers. That's the second bell. We'll get into next week. We'll get part two, which really starts dealing with Jesus and deals with salvation. And then I'm going to have this handout for you, which will give you really some pretty neat stuff on the Jehovah's Witnesses, so you can have an idea of what they believe. Okay. Heavenly Father, what a great morning. Thank you for the truths. Help us, Lord, as we study the Bible, to be grounded, to know what we believe and why, so that we can be ready to give an answer to anyone for the hope that is within us. Thank you, Lord, for the truth from your Bible that hasn't been changed, that shows who Jesus is and who the Father is and the Holy Spirit is, and salvation as a gift and the end times and all of these things that fit perfectly in the Scripture. Thank you, Lord, that it is from you, it is perfect, and we can know it and apply it. Lord, we know that there are things out there that are not accurate. Let us be ready to give an answer to everyone for the hope that is within us as we are grounded in the truths of your word. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.